Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
We go live to Joseph Lindsley. Good afternoon to you in Kyiv, Joseph.
Wendy, hello from Kyiv. And the melody in Kyiv today is the sound of generators everywhere because there are significant power outages throughout the city. And, you know, that sound could drive you a bit crazy. You hear it everywhere you go, but then you realize that sound is more pleasant than the sound of an incoming missile, which we had last night at about 3 o'clock this morning here in Kyiv. And so while we have not seen attacks as serious as Monday, this has been one of the most intense weeks in a long time here with regular attacks, drone and missile attacks throughout the night. And I was recalling many months ago when I was in Kharkiv City during an especially difficult time. I was walking with an American volunteer in a dark street. There was no lights anywhere. And a woman was crossing. I guess she heard us speaking in English. And she was crossing the street. And we had just had several Russian missiles hit the city, shaking almost every building in the city. And this woman cried out to us, "It's a wonderful life." And sincerely, and somehow smiling. And that's what I see here throughout Kyiv today. You know, the situation at the front is, you know, in the east is incredibly difficult. Today is a day to honor those who died in battle. There is sunflower stalks in their honor throughout here in Kyiv. And as I was going for a run around noon, there was a military funeral. Also, there was a female soldier, Natalia, and she was killed in battle. And a year ago, she lost her husband, who was also killed in battle. And so you see this incredibly heavy toll. That, you know, the fact that there is no electricity is a reminder of what Russia is trying to do to cripple this country. And so this is, but still you see people carrying on with this, you know, able to laugh and joke and then find ways to live. So always that sort of incongruous nature of people who want to live well, even in the wartime. And, you know, there are some, while Ukrainians are still holding ground in Russia, that's extraordinary feat. There are some really difficult situations. And today I saw comments from the foreign minister of Lithuania, Gabrielis Landsbergis, and he had very forceful words. He said, even, you know, Lithuania was, you know, a part of the Soviet Union. The Lithuanians suffered under Moscow for many centuries. And during the Soviet Union, you know, their language was, the Russians tried to get rid of their language and their culture and their freedom. And so tiny little Lithuania really remembers the lessons of that time, one of the Baltic countries. So they've been a keen supporter of Ukraine. They've given at least half of their military budget to help Ukraine. And the foreign minister, Gabrielis Landsbergis, said today, he said, even if this sounds like a joke, we are protecting Russian planes. I'll put it this way, let me quote him directly. He said, Russian planes are better protected by the Western guarantees than the Ukrainians are. He said, in June, Washington pledged and promised new ammunition packages and new Patriot missile batteries for air defense. That was June. None of those have been delivered. He says, we're giving Putin an open door. And he said, we have to remember that Putin has reliable friends. North Koreans and Iranians, he said, are able to resupply Russia with what they promised. And then he said, we, meaning the Western politicians, are creating a narrative, a good story to tell our citizens that we are fighting for what's good. But when it comes to deliveries, well, the story is sometimes very different. And I would say those words of the Lithuanian foreign minister really do resonate with people here in Ukraine. You see all these great promises and people claiming that all this good work is being done. But when it comes down to it, you know, these deliveries, a lot of these deliveries are not happening. That said, there is some evidence that the small batch of F-16s that were finally delivered to Ukraine, that they have been involved in some successful some successful destruction of incoming Russian fire.
And AP is reporting, so after 3 weeks of fighting, Russia is still struggling to dislodge Ukrainian forces from the Kursk region. And is it basically coming down to the Russian manpower, because they have all their military pressing forward for offensives inside Ukraine and then no one back in Russia? Is that what the delay is?
That's a large part of it. And we also see, you know, there was no civilian resistance whatsoever in Russia to the Ukrainians. And so that made it very easy for you. I mean, Ukraine was sort of, you know, they weren't necessarily welcome. They were just sort of the Russians were indifferent, which is not a surprise if you see a nation that has allowed this war to go on. But, you know, another thing, it's very difficult for Ukrainians to push back on Ukrainian soil into territory that Russians have that they already have occupied. Because the Russians lace that land with landmines, and it makes it extremely difficult. But Russians did not have landmines on their own soil, and so that's what another. So Ukrainians very smartly found this weakness, and they knew that after, you know, the experience of the past couple of years, that they couldn't, with the current tools they've been given, there was no way they could totally take the Russians head on the ground. So they had to find this weak spot, and as a General Ben Hodges, a retired former top American general, top NATO general. He said on the Silicon Curtain podcast from the UK, which is about Ukraine, he said, we, again, meaning the West, have been, once again, we have been exposed for underestimating Ukraine and overestimating Russia. Speaking about what Ukrainians have done with this Kursk advance. And he's saying, you know, this has been a change of momentum, a change of narrative. And so what you see people like General Hodges and the foreign minister of Lithuania are trying to urge other Western leaders, hey, Ukrainians have opened a window. Let's really pour on the efforts. Let's get Ukraine the tools they need to protect their cities and also to hit the Russian bases that terrorize, you know, Ukraine, as I felt last night with that missile attack at about 3 o'clock this morning.
Okay, so that happened at 3 o'clock in the morning. What is it like right now?
Now it's calm here in Kyiv. There are in the neighboring region of Sumy, which borders the Russian region of Kursk. I just had an indication that a high-speed missile is on the way towards Sumy. We don't know what has happened with that yet. That's the kind of, you get these messages, saying, hey, a high-speed missile on the way to your city. What do you do? You know, if you're really tired, maybe you go back to sleep. I mean, it just depends on you know, kind of your situation in the moment, on how you react to that. But that is the daily reality here, especially this week. The Russians have certainly intensified these attacks this week.
You can go to UkrainianFreedomNews.com and follow Joseph Lindsley, and we will speak to you tomorrow, wishing you a peaceful night. Hopefully that happens.
Or maybe I'll be alert and awake if anything happens.
Yes, absolutely. All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Joseph.